Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
from Under the Bus. I am your hostess, Pretty Bird, and that was a song by our very own Jay Hatter called The Words You Cannot Say, with the musical stylings of Shout Even Shy. So welcome. Tonight we are talking about the dog days of summer, and while technically they were over last week, you know, it's not quite as harvest and as harvest-oriented as it was in the olden times. So it is still hot as Hades and, well, in the moment. You can find us, listen to all our poetry, read all of our wonderful artists at allpoetry.com. We are a group called A Team of Voices. It's free to join. Come look us up. Join us. Express yourself and have fun. So as you all know, it is hot as Hades. It is August. It is summer. It is 4,000 degrees of sweat heat. And why not write some poetry? And let's welcome our first caller, 959. Who do we have? Hello, hello.
Hey, this is Blue. Sorry, I had to take myself off mute.
Hi, how are you? I'm so excited. So right now it is you and I having a conversation all about the dog days of summer. Do you have time to hang out or do you have to read and run?
I actually am driving home right now. So when I get home, I plan on getting everything set up and things like that, and I'll probably read my poem after I get home.
Okay, and but you're going to hang with me until you get home? You'll just read later?
I'm going to hang with you.
Oh.
I'm going to hang with you right now. I'm going to keep talking to you. I've only got about 3 miles to go when I'll be home.
So. Perfect. I'm so excited. Now, keep your eyes on the road and don't get into, you know, any accidents talking to me because, you know, I don't want to distract you. But I love that you're spending time with me, so thank you so much.
And, you're very welcome.
So the dog days of summer, there's this little verse that went along the dog days of summer. It says, dog days bright and clear indicate a happy year, but when accompanied by rain, for better times our hopes are vain. I live in Florida. Let's just say summer is, you know, extreme. You've got your 100-degree weather for 3 months in a row, and in the middle of all that, there are thunderstorms, hurricanes, and I live about an hour outside of the lightning capital of the world. So, well, that's not true. There's one place somewhere in South America that has a higher lightning count. But, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I got a response for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
I have actually been in the hurricane that actually has recorded the highest sustained wind ever, and it was not in the state of Florida.
Ooh, which hurricane was it?
It was actually Hurricane Allen off of Galveston and Houston in 1980, and I think the highest sustained wind was 191.
Wow.
I think it's what NOAA said. So there you go.
That is, like, extreme.
Yes. But we've been having, like, monsoon up here in Pennsylvania. So even though it's only, like, 80 degrees and things like that, the humidity is unbearable. The humidity has just been so, so bad. So the last, let's see, probably for another 2 days, we're going to just have, like, really, really cloudy weather. And if it rains, it rains. But when it rains, it comes down, like, really, really hard. So
Feel ya. That's nuts. It sounds like here, only with 100 degrees and humidity all the time, and it's, like, at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's, like, still 88 degrees. It's ridiculously hot. And it's so humid that if you stand in the doorway of your house, the front of you is dewy and wet, and the back of you is nice and cool because the air itself is thick. And so I can see how it drives people crazy. Back in the day, and I put it up on my topic, the Greeks were all about it drives dogs crazy. That the dog days of summer were bad luck. They brought drought, unrest. Dogs and men alike would be driven mad by the extreme heat. And, because, you know, you can only go through so many consistent 100-degree days before you lose your mind a little bit. I mean, you can barely breathe. It's every time you move, you feel like you're going to pass out. There is nothing fun about that kind of sweat heat. And granted,
exactly.
I am not the outdoorsy type. Okay, so you're not going to find me out there in the wilderness on any given day. But in spring or fall in Florida anyway, where the temperatures are mild, I'm out there. I love the water, so I'll be sitting out there with the ocean breeze and loving life. But this time of year, no. It's like you're just roasting a chicken. It is so hot. It's like painfully hot, you know, you kind of drag your butt. You don't want to do anything. It's just too much. It's almost too much to breathe because the air is so thick. So I feel the crazy this time of year. And because school also starts this time of year, now I've got insane children that don't want to bother to put clothes on to get dressed in the morning because it's too hot, but they still have things to do, so that's a new fight. And let's say hello to Sweet Pea.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Sweetie.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
Hey, Sweetie.
Hello.
Is she on mute?
No. She's there saying hello.
Okay, that's her. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
that's her.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Hi, how are you? What's going on?
We are talking about how it's hot in Hades and not in a good way. It's the dog days of summer. And while technically they are named for the constellation, the star Sirius, which is the dog star, which comes out in the morning between the end of June, beginning of August, or the end of July, beginning of August. And technically they ended last week. But, you know, in the grand scheme of everyday life, we are still in the middle of the dog days of it sucks. So I figured, let's write about it. Not that I did much writing, because my brain does not work in extreme heat or extreme cold, for that matter. I just can't win. I've got like 15 degrees of good. That's my happy zone. It's sad, I know. I have brought some poems. You guys wrote some wonderful poetry. I am so excited, because even though it is sticky and sweaty and unfortunately scented, doesn't mean we can't write good. Because, you know, not for nothing, I am not a big fan of sweat. Even my own sweat, I'm not even talking actual smelly sweat, because no, it's just, I don't like the feel of it. I just don't like it. Sweat is not my friend. I'm going to say it again. Sweet came down here, and she knows how hot it gets. And you know, when you're outside or you're moving around and you're, the air is so thick and you sweat all over, I would like to think that we glisten, but no, sometimes you just sweat and it's dripping everywhere, and you get the unfortunate, and I hope this does not offend you, swamp ass, which is really unpleasant, just to be constantly sticky and sweaty and whatnot. And that is what the dog days of summer really like feels like to me. Like every nook and cranny is just too moist to be comfortable, and like, you know, like inner elbow sweat and like neck roll sweat, it's just unpleasant. It's like, how on earth are you supposed to feel pretty when you feel like that? And how about you,
actually,
Steve? Yes,
go ahead. Happened.
Actually, what?
Okay, I'm sorry. I sound like somebody hung up. Sorry. Maybe that was somebody trying to call me. I apologize. I had, let's see, 2 weeks ago, my air conditioner in my room, the floor unit, actually exploded 6 feet from me. So that there went my air conditioner in my house, and then my AC unit in my car went about a week before that. So I've had the AC blues big time this year.
I would say so. First of all, it exploded next to you. I would have had a heart attack. I probably would have peed a little bit. No lie. Because when I get started like that, bad things happen. Are you okay?
My eardrums and my equilibrium were off for about 3 days.
Oh, man, that is scary. I can't even imagine.
Yes.
And, at least it's raining. I mean, I get that it's a monsoon, which isn't good, but that means that it's not going to top out at 100 degrees. So you've got a little bit of a reprieve from that. But no, I can't. When the AC goes out in my car, I do not drive. I'll drive at night with the windows open, because even if the windows are open down here, and like if you're driving like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you can go in 100 miles an hour, and the air is just blowing hot in your face from the windows, because it's hot. Unless you're by the water, then it's beautiful.
Right. And I actually live only about 3 miles from the water, too. But I live about 35 or 40 miles from Kay and Steven. So as they live on the water on Lake Erie, I live on the water on Lake Erie, too. But I live on the Pennsylvania side. And they live on the Ohio side. So I know that they live someplace up around, I kind of know where they live. I don't know exactly where they live, but I kind of know, you know, where they live. But so we're probably 45, 50 miles from each other. So just,
what a small
just between,
world.
Just between the world. Yes. So we're, you know, we're pretty close. So I'm sorry.
What part of Pennsylvania?
I live right before the Ohio border. Okay, let me put it this way. I live between 45 miles away from New York, and I'm 15 miles away from Ohio. So there's that little cubby hole right there, part of Pennsylvania, that just sticks right into Lake Erie. So I'm about 100 miles north of Pittsburgh.
Okay. So you know Cedar Point, you know Kings Island, you know they're the best amusement parks in the whole world, and everyone should go to them.
Yes, I do know. I do know. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And me being from Florida, with you know half the state is amusement parks, I'm not even gonna argue, because I've wanted to go to Cedar Point my whole life, just haven't made it there, because you know I like roller coasters.
Pretty bird. Well, because I'm from Ohio, but I'm from Colorado now, but in my youth I was from Ohio. So
what part of Ohio?
Bay Village, west side of Ohio.
So what are the dog days of summer like for you, sweet, up there in the mountains?
Well, it can get pretty warm because Colorado is and always has been a desert state, FYI, people. But if you go in the mountains, you crawl up into the mountains, there's still snow up there yonder. But you'd have to go way up in the mountains past the tree line, and you're not about to go there. So, I mean, about now, I mean, it was 80 here today, but if you go, I mean, if it gets to be 90, 100, something here, you can go up in the mountains and get a nice 70, 75 degree. But it usually gets cooler at nighttime here. I mean, I run what is known as a swamp cooler, and people, if you don't know what a swamp cooler is, people are like, what the hell is a swamp cooler? But a swamp cooler is basically you pull air in from the outside, and you run water through it. You run cool water through it, and it evaporates into cool air. So you take the dry air in and run it through a cool water evaporation process, and so then it blows cool water through your house. So it's, they call it a swamp cooler. So that's our air conditioning system.
That's because you have that dry heat.
Yes. So an oven at 300 degrees is still an oven at 300 degrees. But we do not have that humidity, which is God's gift to me.
Yeah, because you have to add the swamp. It lives in my pants.
Oh.
And say hello to Rack.
Hello.
Hey, Rack. Speaking of swamps.
Swamp.
It is
so,
all... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm going to hang up right now, and I'm going to go inside and just get on my computer and whatever. So
all
I'll
right,
call back.
See you in a few. Yes, sir.
Okay.
See you soon.
Thanks for
coming.
Bye.
So, Rack, what are the dog days of summer like where you are?
Struggling to breathe, I guess.
I am right there with you. And it has been raining cats and dogs. It's been a little crazy. This is the kind of heat here lately. Well, okay. With the storm that brushed us, it is wet and ridiculously wet. And so the air is even wetter. So it's almost harder to breathe because everything is wet. It's unpleasant. But in the middle of that, it shoots directly up to 100 degrees. And so it's got that steam air. And it means that I stay in my house unless I absolutely must venture outdoors, because no. It is unpleasant. That's where everybody is crabby and cranky, and people that are usually nice are just like, yeah, you know, instead of, hey, how y'all doing? They're like, mm-hmm, because it's too much. It's too much to see. So I am going to go into our poetry for this evening, and Mr. Stephen has an audio file for us, so I'm going to put him up on the board. If I can find where my room is, here we go. And let me know when you see it.
You'll be waiting a long time for me.
Ah, yeah, you're good.
awesome. And here we go.
Iced Tea Torpidity Awakens Cinnamon Stick Smiles by Steven 76. Pilsner procrastinations give way to green-meated melon lists of back porch sunroom possibilities. Radial carbide screeches subside to clawed hammer percussion, and glue gun giggles as screened outdoor breakfast nook becomes reality. Brow-wiping smiles and exhausted sigh silliness bring open iced tea conversations as dusk awakens the insect chorus and the firefly demands of an encore. Propaned burger boastings topped with blushing beefsteaks from the side yard patch and shucked corn contentment lead to picnic table talks and summer suppers. Crimson tackle box sits in trunk, spoon spinners and jigs napping, but ready to go after the lunkers. Purring ball of fur laying in heated blankets of window-paned sunbeams, legs twitching in unconscious pursuit. Leisure lemonade languors cause grinning squeaky porch swing chuckles, knowing nature's brush will soon be dipped. Falling fronds of vibrant shades will cover emerald blades. The scent of steaming shellfish will dance in nostrils. And cinnamon sticks will once again bring warm apple cider whims. End poem.
Well, isn't that beautiful? First, I love this Thomas Kincaid picture, but he just takes us through those, the fishing and the outdoors and the barbecues and those intimate conversations, just shucking corn and gardening with your tomatoes and your wonderful little vegetables. And this is whimsy and full of alliteration and so many beautiful visual words. Brow wiping smiles and exhausted sigh silliness. You know, I love that. I do. Because, you know, even when it's hot out, when you are laughing and you are full body laughing, it's like exercise, but it is such a release. Like you, when you are done with fits of laughter, those, for me, unfortunately, they're few and far between when you're full on belly laughs, but it is just, there is no stress after that. You know, I don't care how sweaty you get. It's just all good things. I absolutely love that. I love that you know, glue gun giggles as screened outdoor breakfast nook becomes a reality. You know, you're getting things done. You're building your happy place. You're doing these things together. Your tackle box is in the car. The cat is just having excellent genes. It's chasing mice and it's being heated by the sun through the window. This is wonderfully vibrant, Stephen. You did a fabulous job. I love this. And I love how it closes down into warm apple cider whims as it goes through the seasons. This is lovely. What are your thoughts, sweet?
Oh, my God. This just totally made it to my favorite list of favorite lists. I want to be in this moment of peacefulness of the side yard patch and shuck corn contentment and, you know, the tackle box and the spinners and just, I mean, what an elegant, beautiful summer. I just, it's so peaceful and perfect. And, you know, I my summer picnic table talks were always full of sticky children's hands and Kool-Aid being spilled and, you know, somebody screaming at somebody and somebody stealing the spiked watermelon. I want to be here. I mean, he makes this Kincaid Americana. It's just so perfect and gentle and lovely. And I am totally impressed with this, Miss Stephen. I really, really am impressed with this. And just like I said, the imagery, the language, the cadence, everything about it is just probably just up there with one of my ultimate favorite, not just of his, but of a poem that speaks of a season. I think this is just top notch.
I fully, fully concur. And there's something about the way he wrote it that's got a touch of whimsy to it. I mean, it's all, you can see it all play out in front of you. But the way he wrote it, I think it's the alliteration in it, because each verse has its own little bit of alliteration that it adds a little bit of whimsy, which is almost like magic. And it was just really beautiful. And Raconteur, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, he did a wonderful job painting this picture. I guess he did it since he did it to Thomas Kinkade, right? I can't help but use that expression, huh? You know, the first thing that struck me, you know, being into food and everything, was the barbecuing. But I had a smile with the putting together the sunroof and everything. The little honeydews that come with the chores and whatnot it's almost, you know, there's a sense of pride in it, not reluctance, and that comes through with his attitude in doing all of that. You know, you could almost see him smiling, you know, through that whole thing. And you know, this feels like it came from experience. It's not like he made it up. You know, it's feels like it was a summer afternoon for him that he lived, and he did a fantastic job with it.
I fully concur, and I'm impressed with his use of the word torpidity, because you know how I love words. You know, most people put lassitude or lethargy or languidness, but torpidity is very specific in that it is a state of motor and mental inactivity with a partial suspension of sensibility. So you're a little crazy and don't feel much like moving, but which is perfect for the dog days of summer. But there is, if these are his kind of lazy days of summer, you know, he gets a whole shit ton done more than I do. That's for gosh darn sure. my laziness does not include building, breakfast nooks. I'm just saying. But that is really, really wonderful. And you're right. There is a sense of maybe pride, is it, or just joy, I guess, and doing all the things that he mentioned, from building that to picking his garden to fishing, to all of those things that he mentions in there. There's just joy in it, and that just comes through so wonderfully that you can't help but smile. See, most of my poems don't make people smile. They make people feel something, but usually it ain't good because, I write a little jagged, and I am okay with that. It works for me, but I can really appreciate the softness, the joy, the those things that come through that just put you in a different state of mind, even for a moment. So I absolutely appreciate that. So that was most, most excellent. So I have a poem I wrote a while ago because, my brain struggles as of late to come up with anything clever or words in general. But this is As Summer Wanes. And let me know when you see it.
I see it.
Okay. Now, I urge you to sometime, whenever you get around to it, listen to this version of House of the Rising Sun. It's an instrumental version. It is really, it puts you in a long summer day kind of mood. There's something about that song, this version of that song, that is completely different than the actual version of the regular version of the song. It takes you to a different place. So if you happen to like that, go right ahead and listen to it.
Which song did you say?
That is House of the Rising Sun, but it's an instrumental version, and it's really quite amazing. Okay, this is As Summer Wanes. The smoke swirls in place as it rises, dragging through the weight of the air. On this steamy afternoon, a breeze lost in yesterday ceases to blow. The pace slows, day crawls into evening. Earth holds the sun as the air cools the warmth of it. sorry, I got a little sidetracked there from the thing. Give me one more chance to go over this again. Boy, I usually don't fumble up my own stuff. Other people's stuff, yes. My stuff, not so much. Here we go. Earth holds the sun as the air cools, the warmth of it fills each breath, and the effort of rocking a porch chair is too much. Tea melts the glass as it shocks in freezing contrast to the world standing in waves of stillness that tastes like sand at the end of a summer that refuses to let go. End poem. Sorry about that. Jeez Louise.
Brilliant. I love the contrast of the steamy afternoon breeze lost in yesterday ceases to bow. The pace slows, day crawls into evening. What an amazing stanza that is. That is so full of imagery and movement. And I mean, just, oh, I love this. The alliteration in this. Cease to blow. The pace slows as day crawls into evening. I think that is, I love that stanza. You've written so many amazing stanzas. And this is just chalk into another pretty bird. Excellent. Wow, this is brilliant. But, yeah, this is great. And I love, you know, and it is the summer wanes because sometimes the days are so hot and you just go into the next day, into the next day, to the next day. And this is just what it is. It just crawls and crawls and crawls. And you think it's never going to end. It's going to be 145,000 degrees for the next 145,000 days. I mean, never ever feel that way. I am not a summer person.
Me neither.
I am a fall and spring person.
Yes,
screw
ma'am.
The middle of the freezing and screw the hottest days of the year. Give me those two middle seasons and I'm a happy person. And this is just, love that. Love it, love it, love
I am
it.
Right
rack
there with you.
Yes. Rack.
I got completely lost. I'm sorry.
No worries.
That's okay.
It's just about the hot, sweat, heat, lazy days where you don't feel much like moving and it just drags on forever, but a little bit, you know, more elegantly put.
Yeah.
So that is my summer. I was going to put Ella Fitzgerald's Summertime as the opening song today, but I just couldn't find the one version that I had in my head. And because, you know, I've got a favorite version, and I can't find it. I couldn't find it on YouTube, and my phone's been kind of on the fritz on and off, and so scrolling through my who knows how many songs are on there wasn't working for me. So I got a little sad. Because, you know, I love that song. And it's got that kind of slow jazz kind of heat to it anyway, you know? Especially the version, the studio version with Louis Armstrong where you've got, you know, ooh, all that jazz. But it's also very long. It's like a 6-minute song. So it might have been a bit much to start the show. So, you know.
Well, you just said jazz. So I'm going to put my poem up.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Only because you said the word jazz.
I will have it up in 1 second.
Not to
and
put
there
you on the spot
go.
Or anything, but...
Oh, no, you are good. Yeah, well, you know, because jazz, there's something about jazz. It is its own emotion. It elicits all kinds of things. And you've got some upbeat swing-type jazz, like you know, that... It just drags you into a good mood, but then you've got that slow, smoky jazz that just makes anything sexy, and it just adds its own kind of warmth to any situation, and it's all good things, let me tell you.
All right, so this is Summer Lovin', which sounds like a Grease song, but it's not. But Summer Lovin'. Moonlight did not calm the entropic fever of the day. Torpid bodies flow and the lava lamp grew, gazing at the shimmering ghosts rising in the evening hay. Jazz notes and whiskey burn in eternal flame. hair swept loosely up, white linen strings tied at the neck. Sweat glistens on her open back sundress. Inquisitiveness, demeanors, misdemeanors fired and dismissed. Flames, passion flare, explode and hiss. Touch the crimson shade of viciousness with a silver blade. The breeze of tomorrow sours chill skin. As the bite of serious bleeds, the anguish of a thousand suns. In the heat of summer lovers, cool under the midnight stars above. End poem.
And let's welcome back Xylophonic Blues. Hey, how are you doing? Hello, hello.
Muted.
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thanks, Rack.
And so Sweet Pea just read her Summer Lovin' and that sultry voice of hers when she drops it low like that. I almost don't hear words. I get lost right in the mood anyway. And this is, I love that picture. I saw that picture earlier, and I was just like, Sweet Pea. And here it is. It's on your thing for Sirius, which is just perfect. I love this. I love this. I love that you use torpid too. It's such a good word, isn't it? It's such a good word.
Yes.
The torpid bodies flow in a lava lamp groove. Okay. I love lava lamp groove because, you know, it's got that slow motion kind of, it just kind of, it's liquid, so it kind of just ebbs and flows inside its little, you know, lamp-like container, and it's got a feel to it. So, you know, when bodies are flowing in that slow kind of sweaty groove, it's just, it was very visual. And I'm gazing at the shimmering ghost rising in the evening haze. You know, what a beautiful way to depict the road is so hot that when the temperature drops a little bit, it just steams at you. I mean, it's not fog, it is actual steam. But how beautiful is that line? The shimmering ghost rising in the evening haze. You know, you make it sound like something I want to see when, in fact, I don't go outside when I can see the heat coming off the earth. But it's beautiful. And jazz notes and whiskey, you know, they go together. I, for some reason, you know, I've got the jazz and whiskey. I've got many, many poems with the talks about, you know, two fingers of whiskey and a nice tenor saxophone, because it builds a mood. And here they are together again with, you know, and that hair swept up loosely and the linen strings tied at the neck. I love a good sundress. I do. I miss the days where I can wear them, just those simple ones that tie like a halter top, because certain endowments do not lend themselves well to not be, you know, supported. So sundresses are not my best friend, but I do love them, and they're so gauzy and diaphanous, and it's about the coolest thing you can wear. And it's just, what a beautiful image, what a beautiful mood. And the heat of summer lovers cools under midnight stars above. This is just like a nice little story of love and glistening skin. And only you can make sweat sound nice, because, you know, and the reality of sweat is not my friend. So Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts on summer loving?
Yeah, I'm seeing the breeze of tomorrow sorrows chilling the skin towards the end of this, that's kind of changes the mood like she always does. She paints this beautiful picture, and then she sneaks in these little hints of, yeah, it's not what you think. I love the way she does it. She's got that I don't know, it feels like an impishness to me that I would just, you know, love to wrap myself up in.
Aww. and Hal, did you get a chance to hear her read? Are you on mute? Xylophonic Blues. Did you get a chance to hear Sweet Pea?
I was on mute again. I'm sorry. no, actually, I did not get a chance to hear her. I was actually getting some things ready for dinner to eat and to so I could sit and mellow out a little bit longer here. But I promised to read it. It sounds wonderful.
She did such a good job. You should listen to it because there's nothing like hearing her read. She has that voice, that way, that lilt to her voice. It just kind of pulls you in. So that is awesome. Do that when you have the time. And let's see. You know, Felon wrote for The Dog Days of Summer, and I'm so excited. I'm going to give her a little time to see if she can get here before we go ahead and read her because – you know, I would love for her to come and visit, so I'm hoping she can. Whew, okay, I'm all right. You know, it has been a very long day, and it has been a stressful week with the first week of the kids going back to school, and for some reason, it is kicking my butt today. I don't know what the deal is. I just have not been, I've been feeling under the weather. It must be the heat.
It has been really crazy. I helped set up an orchestra of kids last night that actually did a show. And then I went and tore it down this morning, and then I mowed my lawn this afternoon, and then I went to work tonight. So I know what you mean. Definitely.
That sounds exhausting. But let me know when you are ready to read, and I will put you up.
I am actually all ready. I'm all set.
Oh, excellent. So you are on the board, darling.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the name of the poem is called Hot Georgia Nights, and it begins, Summer's baton, sauna armpits as sweat drips unseated, crawling crisscross of expanding conduits, Q-tip, mauve headlights, racing, soft shoes of hollow sound, a thin barrier between the survival and annihilation. Cobblestones, wayward child, subterranean trains, painted graffiti, continuous tap, a leaky window unit, drowning in perpetual splatter. Burgundy avenues, needle-shrouded parchment circuitry, pathways pellets, leeching marks to be free. Organic temperate latitudes, carefree, balmy summer, evening of youth, backyard beaches with copper cracking glances, clusters of watered light, float teardrops from damp ceilings, gurgling darkness creep and spread pipes and tubes. 3. Earth's galvanized maze, droplets, twisted obsidian, moldy arches, pulsing dense low altitude, pine sap cones running, tentacles silence capillary and human ligaments, chirping starlings tossed in pillared flux. Alfalfa printed pockets, cirrostratus acrylic cloth, door scarves unwrap, accumulating variable precipitation, an unwrapped jar of fireflies, primrose flaxen, chrysanthemums, resignate, goldenrods, hopscotch, honeybees buzzing, blueberries giggling uncontrollably, barium sunbeams bending, green clover leaves sprout spectacularly, sassafras dances as little insects hide in the grass blue, breezes. Hieroglyphics melt upon cyclonic sand hourglass, storm drains, wallpapered corridor fingerprints, raindrop florets seep from her weathered window. Daylight's cradle detoured, residual grinding halt, station platforms of garbage waterfalls, pinpricked feet crossing a warped mountain street. 5. Intoxicating exotic perfume, the scent of gardenias, settles an enticing memory, blossomed ivory buds shaped like seashells, unfurl into velvet soft flowers and tangled halos, anticipating the warmth and humidity of a sultry summer's early evening. Gusty earthen fragrance unshackle her alabaster shadows. Wet wind blows, mascara's murky porcelain's cocoon, her woven sunshine mist digging into a nimbostratus terracotta rainfall. Georgia peach aroma binds an atmosphere heavy with the pungency of legislature. Clarity shines through a cloudy consumption of introverted happiness, rotating orbital twilight. Head bowed, she kneels, soaking in, I think it is, the last hour of warmth upon this front porch, thirsty for the chill of nightfall. End poem.
Well, you just took us through many different little scenes here, and the one with the gardenias, which I'll get to in a minute, that's my mom's favorite flower, and you took the time to describe that and the unfurling of it and all of it in a way that really moved me. And I'll get down to that section again in a second. Summer's baton, sauna, armpits. Okay, I seldom hear armpits in a poem, but my goodness, I know that feeling, you know?
I'm sorry.
No, you are
don't
good.
Don't apologize.
As sweat.
I promise that I wrote this before the show. I promise I did. Anyway, you're just kidding.
It is wonderfully visceral. Like you can almost, it almost makes you, puts you in that sweaty armpit state because you know what that, everybody knows what that feels like. It's not the most comfortable feeling. And it just kind of goes, you just start strong right there. And you go through with, I love this, a thin barrier between survival and annihilation. And that place right there, for me, it reads of a mental, because I personalize everything just so that you know. When you're really hot and it's the middle of a long 100-degree day and you're about at your wit's end, and when my kids approach me and I give them side eye, they know if they are not dying, just turn around and go away because it ain't gonna end pretty. And you know, because there is no ability to be super joyous when you are covered in that pit sweat. It just doesn't exist for me. They are two completely disconnected things. And so I really, really kind of love the way you go through all of this. And then it reminds me of my summers in New York when you've got that leaky window unit where, you know, there are the trains and you can hear them and it shakes things when they're running beneath you. And everybody's right. Got the window units because up in the city, you know, back in the day, there was no actual AC for, you know, like internal whatever. It was all window units. And sometimes that drip is the most annoying sound on the face of the planet because it is incessant and it is just constantly there like a leaky faucet. But it's also the sound of heaven because, you know, in that place, the sun ain't touching you. And it's because while I complain about the Florida sun, there's a lot of openness here. There's a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of tall buildings where I am as I live kind of by cows in the country. Summers in Manhattan or in Brooklyn, where you've got all the brownstones and you've got all of these wind barriers and you've got dead air of everybody's like sweat, it is unpleasant, or it can be unpleasant until the wind kicks up and like then, you know, you get real wind down these tunnels of streets. But you describe this so well. You know, a leaky window unit drowning in perpetual splatter. I love that. This has touched so many moments of familiarity to me, you know? And then the carefree, balmy summer, evenings of youth, backyard branches with copper cracking glances. You know, you've got all of these little hints of, I love that carefree, balmy summer, which to me is very much my childhood when my mom was like, just go play, come back when the streetlights come on. And you're like, woohoo, because you knew she wasn't going to come out in the sweat heat and you can go and play and do whatever the heck you wanted to. And there, that was where my first sense of freedom was born, is or in those balmy summer evenings. And instead of me stealing everything, I'm just going to jump right down to the part that almost made me cry, which is intoxicating exotic perfume, the scent of gardenias settles an enticing memory, and they will forever remind me of my mother. And she passed almost 3 years ago, geez Louise. It feels like yesterday, but still. And these, the velvet flowers and the sultry summers, early evening, all of it, she kept them planted. There were night blooming jasmines in the front, and the backyard was all gardenias and Arica palms. Wow. Because that's an odd mix, but it was gardenias everywhere. And so all you smelled were flowers. You had the gardenias in the day, and then the night blooming jasmines overtook the night, and they will forever be my mom. And this is by far my favorite stanza, because it pulled me into those moments, into those, the way the scent of the flowers perfumes the air in the summer when there is no breeze is completely different than any other time. It hangs and it almost coats your skin, like you're walking through it and it sticks to you. And it's a very specific scent that does that. Not all flowers color the air that way. So I thought that was tremendously beautiful. And
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So I got a lot out of this. You just touched on so many moments of familiarity for me. So you did a great job. And
thank you.
You're welcome. Raconteur, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed this too. Like you said, the imagery for me is kind of like a little flip book, the way he transitions from scene to scene. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about the way that you write. You know, you give us these snapshots and the imagery in between you use in each one, the detail that you managed to include, you use great metaphor and not an economy of words, but you do it succinctly. You do it wonderfully. You know, the air conditioner and everything that you describe is very visceral and relatable. And that's what makes the story for me so wonderful. You know, and you managed to touch on things that you know are very personable to some of us. You know, like the gardenias for Pretty Bird. You know, I kind of went through Georgia. I've never really stayed there, but you know, the sense of the Georgia peach and all of that other heat and everything else, you know, it's a place that I kind of wanted to visit, you know, just because of the allure of it. And that stupid, you know, just the mention of Georgia, I picture that the water tower. I can't help but see that, you know, in my mind. And that put a big smile on my face too. Because, you know, I kind of, you know, even though I've never really been to Georgia, I still know that little bit of trivia, so I appreciated that very much. You know, this whole poem was very homey and warm and wonderful.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate that.
And Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts? Sweetness.
You have to come off mute.
Are you on mute? Tell us about those hot Georgia nights, Sweet.
She's probably dealing with the dogs.
Yes, I'm talking to myself. yeah, I know a lot about Georgia. My mother's from Savannah. I spent a lot of summers in that lovely, beautiful little town and around there and around Tybee Island and hanging out and playing in the ocean. You talk about sultry summer evenings and the cobblestone streets and the smells of gardenias and magnolias, and I love terracotta rainfall. I have to just absolutely love that. there's something about some of your imagery, like mascara's murky porcelain cocoon. I love so much of this. The Georgia peach aroma, the cloudy consumption of introverted happiness. I love that particular set of words, the cloudy consumption of introverted happiness. That to me just is the epitome. If you're going to talk about Georgia, she's an introverted, happy person, because there's so much woes and blues and poverty, and there's so much in Georgia, but there's something about her history and the way she is and the way she can be, and there's joy in her. Yet when you look at the face of her, there's also so much depth of sadness in her. But, you know, there's the blues and there's the ocean and her beauty and her people. You know, I love her so much. I think you captured a lot of her. I could go on and on with just about everything you wrote here. Where's the, you talked about the racing soft shoes of hollow sounds, a thin barrier between survival and
annihilation.
Annihilation, thank you. I know it was an alienation, but annihilation. And I think that it is, because you go from Atlanta to, say, like, Riverton, or...
Even driving, like, from Atlanta to, like, Peachtree City. You know what I mean? To the outskirts of Atlanta,
exactly.
To Peachtree City. It's like that, right.
There's such a difference between, you know, oh, we're the bustling city and we're, you know, hip-hop, everybody's, you know, hip-hop city, blah, blah, blah. And then you go into where you have packs of dogs that aren't taken care of and children that aren't fed and this massive poverty that you would never believe that you have this hip-hop city right here. And I love how you did this. This is just stellar, stellar, stellar to talk of such a beautiful, beautiful girl. And if you don't know, if you talk about the history of Georgia, that Savannah is the first and oldest shipping port in the United States. So when we talk about our history, you really have to know that that's where, you know, we talked about, you know, Boston and all of that. But when the goods and everything started to come and we started as a commerce, you have to talk about Georgia. I really thought this was fabulous. Now.
Yeah. I have in-laws outside of Savannah too, so my wife's niece lives outside of Savannah near the I think there's a Navy base there or something. Side somewhere. Anyway. So. But thank you, Sweet Pea. I appreciate your comments.
You're beautiful all around, it's just you have this way, and it's funny because you don't mince words. There isn't a lot of filler. You do not slather the page in purple prose. You like Rack said, you're kind of succinct, but you make these connections between things that a lot of us wouldn't normally put together, and they make for very memorable moments, not just in the verbiage, but in the images and feelings that they incite. So, you know, it takes a lot to be able to twist words in these interesting different ways and still paint a lovely picture.
Thank you, Pretty Bird. I appreciate that.
You are very, very welcome. And it is, we are halfway through, and I am not sure. I haven't looked at anything for this week, so I'm a bad, bad, bad hostess. But let's see what is coming up. Let's see. Tomorrow night we have Lady A at 9 o'clock, The Mysteries of History. And, ooh, there's a whole lot on there. So go ahead and check that out because those are always interesting. She's got a lot of talking points to go over, and I'm going to have to delve into that myself because it actually looks quite inspirational for me. Like, and I have had a hard time writing as of late, so I'm going to take my motivation wherever I can find it. And so wish me luck, because, oh my goodness, I don't know what it, this is not a writer's block. This is just my brain is off, like just across the board. It is not good. And then let's see. And then you are Thursday, Miss Sweet. Are you up on the board yet?
No, I'm actually working on my board as we talk. My subject is stress relaxing.
Is what?
Say that again.
Stress relaxing.
That is my normal state of affairs. That's going to be awesome. Oh, I'm excited. Did you change all your shows to 8 o'clock or just the last two?
I did, but now I'm thinking maybe I should go back to 9 to 11 or 11 to whatever. I'm having trouble with the time slot right now. So any suggestions, but...
If you want my suggestion, my only thing is that that's the only time I get to spend with my kids, and it's crazy here before I get them to bed, so I can't make 8. I can squeeze 9. Sometimes I'm a little bit late, but okay, your show does not run around my schedule, so you know I'm just putting that out there.
I know. I'm trying to be very sweet, but with school back in, I'm thinking that maybe I may go to the 11 o'clock slot, just because it's crazy with school.
Yeah, it really is. But 11, 10, you were good at 10 for the longest time, and the 9 o'clock worked really well. And I'm always good at 11 because, you know, I don't sleep.
I think I'm thinking, I was good at 10, and then I was kind of working with Stephen Kay, and his schedule changed. And now his work schedule changed. So because he was on earlier, and then his schedule changed, they put him later. And I was like, okay, I can work with that. And then everybody went back to school, and now 8 is, like, way too early for my West Coast people. But then 11's way too late for my East Coast because everybody's got kids going to school. So I'm kind of like, where the hell do I go? So I'm thinking 9 to 11 might be back where I'm going to go.
That sounds good to me.
So,
I know I do better with that. But, again, you know, it's whatever works for you.
Well, I want to make everybody happy, so I'm thinking about going right back to that 9 to 11 spot because I think that helps both East and West, so kids can get to bed and others aren't up too late kind of thing, so we can go
into
the
night. You're so sweet. Your name suits you.
Yeah. I know. But, yeah, stress lacking, I've got some comments I'm going to be put up. It's being stressed that relaxing makes you more stressed because you're not working on what's making you stressed. So that's stress relaxing. So that's my show. I've got
that's
going to
be interesting. Let me tell you what. that is all I know. Me, I wish that I can just relax, and I look like I relax, but I'm telling you, mentally, not relaxed.
So I've got some quotes that are going on the board that you can write to or talk about how you can never relax stress relaxing is the whole work. So be the reason someone smiles today or the reason they drink, whatever it works.
Right? It's either one or the other. You're good to go. And I don't
Pretty
see anything
perfect.
Up.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I've actually been asked to approach possibly co-hosting with somebody. Now, if I co-host, do I have to go along with the person who is actually hosting the show for the time, or can I actually pick a time as a co-host to do my show? How does
that
work?
That depends on who you are co-hosting with, because some people aren't very flexible with their work schedule. So if you pick somebody who has to be at a certain time and you want to co-host with that person, you might be locked into a time. But if you have a time preference and they're flexible, then I think that if you discuss it with them, that there might be concessions can be made.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to ask about that. Just kind of throw that out. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for letting me in.
You're welcome. Yeah. I think it's more about making sure that it's not a last minute change, that plan it out the week in advance so that they can put it on the schedule and everything is all copacetic.
I got you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And I don't see anything on the board for Friday yet, but on Saturday in the think tank, it is major influences, changes in your life from the age of 5 to the age of 20. Oh, my goodness. If I start thinking of the influences in my life, it's going to be like a trauma fest. That's just, it's just like, okay, this is where I shut down for this. This is where this anxiety was born. You know, I probably should be a little bit more positive about my past because I am not complaining. I did not have a horrible childhood. I was not beaten or abused. It's just when you're a kid, the moments that change you, the moments that you notice first in people, the first time like a parent lies to you and you register it, or things like that, help shape who you are, and those tend to weigh more than all of those happy moments, which is a sad thing, but they do. Those little bits of stark reality change who you are. So I might revisit that topic and see if I can pull something out that isn't traumatic, just as a personal lesson for me, because right now I've got 15 things going. I can write about this misery, but I kind of need to look for something that's going to be uplifting and happy and something that molded me in a good way, because they're there. They're just not, you know, as scarred in, you know? So that is...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's also Pretty Bird, the fact that you can look on it as an adult and have an adult's point of view with the kid's point of view, and you can like mix those up. You know what I mean?
That
when you're
is
right.
Very, very
kind
true.
Kind of do a two-sided approach. That's always really cool.
That I fully concur. And on Monday, on Personal Prompt Monday, it is a double prompt challenge. There is a photo, 30 photos to choose from. And I believe there is a word bank. I'm looking. Okay, because there's a lot of pictures. These pictures are awesome. Okay, Deb has this knack for, I think I'm going to pick number 4, for picking pictures that are just so visually stimulating that you want to throw words at it, you know? I'm like, I can't pick a picture for the life of me. I know things that I like, but they don't necessarily inspire me. And she has got an excellent eye. And there's such a wide variety of pictures in this group that there's something there for everybody. I'm highly impressed with her image choices. So check that out, because that looks like a lot of fun. And then on Sunday... over on the dark side, every Sunday is a pretty sweet tease, and there's a topic board here that takes you to our 18 and over group. We have not put it up for this week yet, but it will be there hopefully tomorrow, and if anybody feels like being a little sensual, a little sexy, rated R, not rated X, and check that out. And that is every Sunday. And so back
to...
topic
this week.
Oh, it's what?
Oh. Our topic this week is, and my dog or cat is thinking.
Is
how
what?
Do you think you're good at it? My dog and cat think. So I want, basically, from the view of your dog or your cat, are they thinking you're any good at it? Are they thinking you're bad at it? Is it a romantic night? Is it a bad night? What's your dog and cat thinking about your romantic side? That's what we're talking about.
That's going to be some interesting writing, let me tell you what. So I will have that up tomorrow, so check that out, because, you know, if we've all had pets at some point, and, you know, they tend to look at us cockeyed, so that is, I mean, you know, I tend to look at my dogs and be like, but I know, bud, it's all right. You'll understand. It'll turn out all right. When it comes to things like me cooking or cleaning or you know, God forbid, trying to exercise, because they always look at me all cockeyed when I'm actually trying to like exercise, because that is just not pretty. So I can only imagine.
I'm waiting for them. Like, I'd be like, you know, because I have 3 of them, and they're going to be like ice skaters. Judges, and they're going to hold up cards, like, and the judge from Sweden gave me a 2.4. I'm just waiting for that day. So
that is hysterical. That is too funny. I'm going to have to find pictures to go with it. That is so, so funny. And so it is just after 12, and we have Rack, did I see you send me something? Yes, you did. See, I didn't forget about you. I saw it pop up there for a second.
I'm a naughty boy.
Well, then you need to be there every Sunday, because that's the room for you. And this one, do you want Sweet to read it for you?
Sure.
Awesome. Are you ready to read for Rack, Sweet?
I can read for Rack and Tor.
Awesome. I just said that. Oh, my goodness. I got my own deja vu. Isn't that funny? Because I'm fine. My brain works just fine, I swear. Rack, you're up on the board whenever you're ready, Sweet.
Searing hot memory. I can't sleep. It's the heat. For some reason, it's got me dreaming of you. Jumping in the car to cool off together, heading to the shore, seeking refuge from the weather. It promises to be a long, hot summer, but it's you that makes me sweat. My chest pounds like a drummer, betting back accumulated regret. No, beating back, sorry. Watching you put your feet up on the dashboard as the radio blares that song makes me melt when you sing along. Gonna sit together in the sand, watching the sun go down. The stars come out in your eyes, tasting the salt on your skin, causing the temperature continues to rise. It promises to be a long, hot summer, but it's you that makes me sweat. Mercury may hit record high, but it's the sear of your kiss I'll never forget. And
it's that breathiness that does it for me. I tell you what, I love this. I can't sleep. It's this heat. I know that feeling because, no, me and heat, again, are not friends. But for some reason, it's got me dreaming of you. You know, as far as, like, any kind of pickup lines go, not that this is a pickup line, you know, I'm kind of digging it. I really am. It's like it's unbearably hot, but it keeps you on my mind. You know, it's it's not. It doesn't feel cheesy to me. It feels affectionate. It feels sweet. It feels loving. I like that. You know, sometimes you need a little romance in verbiage, you know, those little things, those little subtle things that kind of make you smile. And jumping in the car to cool off together, heading to the shore, seeking refuge from the weather. You know, in growing up as a water baby, growing up on the ocean, yeah, you see, you need the only thing that can cool you off is that sea breeze. And while the sun is still hot, that breeze makes all the difference. And it's really, really lovely. And I love the affection in this all the way through. You know, it's going to be a long, hot summer, but the sear of your kiss. I absolutely love that because not all kisses are memorable. You know, not all kisses are we're not proud of everybody we've ever kissed, I'm sure. And, but
what?
But to have that kiss seared into your memory, to have the heat of it there always is, you know, it's wonderfully affectionate. And I love that. I love all of those little things that kind of make you want to give in to that moment and, you know, leave those inhibitions elsewhere. So you're such a romantical kind of guy, Rack. And Sweet, you read this. What are your thoughts on this sultry evening by the water?
All I know is I need my thirst quenched now. I mean, that was a hot little ditty. and I'm at the beach, everything's hot, and but I need some nice cool lemonade, a little bit of something, because all that hotness and all that sand and all that water, yeah, I need something to quench this little bit of thirst I've got going on. Great poem.
Oh, my goodness. And Xylophonic Blues, what are your thoughts on Rack's Little Piece?
I actually think that it, you remember like those summers you had as like a teenager, like maybe during a, maybe during the summer off of college, maybe during the summer off of high school, you know, something like that, sort of like, you know, when you were really discovering what love really was, what it was like, you know what I mean?
When, yes.
When we didn't have all the garbage as adults, you know, and things like that to go through and that kind of stuff, and just all that good, I don't want to say innocence or anything else like that, but, you know, just all that good first-time stuff, you know, learning, you know, setting what you expect, you know, setting beyond what you expect the next time. You know what I mean? Just that kind of stuff.
It just
kind of carries that kind of, so.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. There's a little bit of a lag, so my apologies. But you're absolutely right. And there is the subtleties of newness in there, and which makes that kiss, like maybe it's that first kiss or maybe it's a longer kiss. You know, all those moments that build into the bigger moments of life before your heart gets broken and you get cynical. And it's got that kind of, and I'm going to go ahead and use that innocent word, but the innocence of affection, of trusting that there's more there than just touch. And it's quite lovely. And let's say hello to Mr. A.P. Taylor. How you doing?
Is he on mute? There he is, okay.
So what do you think of the dog days of summer, AP?
He hasn't come off mute.
AP, are you muted? Perhaps he's a little busy. Oh, he just dropped. Oh, I guess he got called away. He's a busy, busy guy. Hopefully he'll call us back in a minute. But that was an awesome job, Rack. I kind of love your romantic side, especially when there's a sweetness to it, you know, because sometimes there's naughtiness, which is good. But when there's sweetness, that's kind of my happy place when you write, you know. Oh, here he comes again. Hello, hello, AP. Can you hear us? AP, are you there? I can't hear you. Oh, dropped again. I'm thinking that there's some technical difficulties because I don't think that we can hear him. Yeah. So hopefully he'll call back. Hopefully it'll work. And hopefully he brought us a little treat because I kind of enjoy the way he writes. So it is time to put Felon. Oh, here he is again. Hopefully it'll work this time. Let's see. Can you hear me now? AP, are you there? I know you've been trying. Hello, hello.
Wow.
Ah, it doesn't seem to be coming through. My heart is breaking. I always love when he stops in and brings fabulous words. Hopefully he'll be able to hear it. Oh, he is... Yeah, he's on the board. He's like, how frustrating is that? I can hear you. Well, you know, that's half of the equation. You know, hopefully the technical difficulties will be assuaged when he calls back. He says he's going to try one more time. So I'm hoping it comes through. But, you know, sometimes Blog Talk is moody. so far today it's been pretty good, but, you know, well, until now. But hopefully, hopefully he'll come.
Hey,
through. Yes.
First, can we call him through the, can we call him through the station?
I don't know, because he's overseas, so I don't know if it'll dial out that way.
I don't know.
I know I've never, I know I'm going to sound all, you know, like a country bumpkin, but I've never, like, actually number dialed overseas. I've always app dialed overseas. So I have no clue even how to start that. But do I have to, like, dial, is like, when his number comes through, is that first 61 his country code?
I think so, yeah.
All right. I could try. Are you guys ready?
Go
yeah.
for it.
All right. Oh, wait, he's calling back. Maybe it'll work. Hold on a second.
I should do a bad imitation.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me now? Well, can we hear you?
He says he can hear us, but...
Yeah.
Hello,
I'm gonna...
pretty bird. How are you?
Oh,
yay!
That's funny.
Yay!
No, that was right. Oh, that's funny. Let's go ahead and try to call him. If I can get this in here. Now, this is my first time doing this, so it may not work, and we may get some strange person in China.
Maybe he's under more than one bus.
He says it won't work. If he says it won't work.
Hold a second. I'm calling out. Let's see.
She just said it won't work, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not working.
Won't.
Okay. Okay. It wouldn't go through, said the call failed. But I will be happy to read.
Yeah.
Maybe if he tries the studio number instead of the regular number.
I don't know. I'm not sure if more than one person can call in on the host line, or if it, once the
I don't
host
think so.
Control, yeah. Ooh, but he dropped us a piece. I'm so excited. I would be more excited if I could hear your lovely voice, but you'll have to make do with my reading of your words. So this is Of Seagulls, Cards, and Sweat by A.P. Taylor. And it goes like this. Wait, do you guys see it? You have it up?
Yes.
Okay, it goes like this.
Yes.
If the wheels of a bus go round as found and the engine is revving with heat, days of summer to a seagull bound when guitars and humidity do meet. The temple of the dog is playing hard, grunt heard on hot summer night, and it depends as if drawn a card as whether clubs or hearts are right. While sweat drives and rivulets does crest, drips persecuting their liquid trails, and of that humidity leading to lust in dog day afternoons, not just tails. Okay, first, sorry for butchering that, but oh my goodness, first of all, I love that there's a bus in there, because it just makes my day. It really, 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 really does. And I think it's you know, the Of Seagulls, Cards, and Sweat. You know, sweat is usually not the sexiest thing. However, sometimes it is just that. And I love the rhyme in this. I do, because it adds a little bit of playfulness just to the cadence of it. And I wish I could hear you read it yourself, because, you know, the lilt in your voice is, you know, does wonderful things to your words. The temple of the dog is playing hard, grunge heard on a hot summer night. And it depends, as if drawn a card, whether clubs or hearts are right. You know, it's got that bit of whimsy. It's got that playfulness. Is it going to go this way or that way? You know, and like that one movie said, it ain't never too hot or too cold for a certain activity. I may have paraphrased a bit. And, you know, you got to see where the night goes. I absolutely love this. Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts on this hot, sweaty evening?
Well, yes, sexy little Australian you. Oh, my goodness. The temple of the dog is playing hard. I love that in Dog Day Afternoons, not just Tail. Wow, I love just about everything in this, Mr. AP. But, wow, the temple of the dog is playing hard, brunch heard on a summer night. And it depends as if drawn a card as whether clubs or hearts are right. I really am in love with that stanza, just FYI. And, you know, that hot, sticky summer heat we all complain about during the day, and we're all whining about it, blah, 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 just turns into something different as the moon goes down and you start, you know, and you're just like, oh, if we're going to be sticky and hot, we might as well just be sticky and hot together. And as he puts in that line, and of that humidity leading to lust in a dog day afternoon, not just tails. I just think he put it very well together. And I think Sirius, he has a way of just turning it and making it what it's supposed to be during the dog days of, you know, summer. Very, very well done. Very lustfully well done.
And Rack and Tour, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like the whole rhyme and flow of it. The wheels of the bus, you know, playing off of the children's song. I constantly can't look at the under the bus and not hear that song in the back of my head. So, you know, I'm glad he got the earworm out a little bit by doing that. And the whole wordplay throughout this is fantastic. So the last line, you know, about the tail, I really appreciate that as well. Clever, clever, clever.
Absolutely. And Xylophonic Blues, what are your thoughts on this piece?
I actually really, really like the ending. I'm an endings kind of person. So I really, really like the ending. When Sweat Drives and Rivulets Does Crust, that's kind of like a sultry, you know, type thing. But yet at the same time, you know, Rivulets, I mean, which way are they going to go? Are they going to drive you away? Or are they going to drive you and entice you more to go forward? You know, sort of like with that word. Drips persecuting their liquid trails. You want to wipe the sweat away from your, you want to wipe the sweat away because it's just there, but yet you're too, shall we say, busy with other things, too busy with other things to actually do anything about it. And then because of that decision, it leads to the next line, and of that humidity, you know, that humidity leading to lust. So, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I would have liked to hear him read too, because I haven't heard him for quite a while. So I agree with you on that. Nice job, Andy. Nice piece.
Brilliant work. The opening of this, if the wheels of a bus go round is found and the engine is revving with heat, days of summer to a seagull bound when guitars and humidity do meet. Here is the thing, because this is speaking to me of blues guitar, because, you know, I've got that jazzy bluesy vibe. And there was this club, the Elbow Room, which you can see, by the way, even in the old original version of Where the Boys Are, still there with the same retro signage and everything, right there facing Ocean Mile on the Strip in Fort Lauderdale. And it is this tiny little thing. They are not joking with it, because it's all little tiny standing tables and nothing but Elbow Room, because it's always packed out into the street. and they have live music, and their live music actually plays on the sidewalk because there's no room inside. And it's my favorite of all little bar-like hangouts just because there's such an easy beach-going vibe. It's always hot. It is always sweaty, but it's always cool. And, you know, when you've got that guitar playing and you're swaying just a little bit because it's too hot for actual dancing, but you're swaying just a little bit and, you know, and nobody wants to sit there with like a sweat rag just dragging it across their brow. That is not sexy. So you're right. Things drip a little bit. You let it slide unless it's going to blind you by hanging into your face like that because, you know, sometimes sweat is sweat. But it's really sultry. It has that glistening skin vibe where it's just enticing enough where it kicks up pheromones. And, you know, this is sexy sweat. It's not so much the armpit, you know. And it's I love that with guitars and humidity. Those are my Florida summers. Those are my mid-20s. Those are my when they would drag me to the strip because, you know, I'm not a club going kind of gal, but when they would drag me down there, that was absolutely my thing. If there was live music, especially if it had any kind of bluesy riffs in it, then that's where I hung out. And it was always, we always ended up at the Elbow Room, and this just absolutely brought me right back to that. And, you know, will she or won't she, will he or won't he, you know, where you kind of look up at the guy a little bit and your finger twirls the top of your glass and you giggle maybe a little bit nervously if they're like really hot, you know. It's just it has that vibe, doesn't it? It's awesome. Go ahead.
Now I was going to say it's like a little B.B. King on the beach.
Yeah, this is awesome. I really, really, really enjoyed this. It was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I love it. It's like a little treat. And so we have one more piece, and that is Miss Felon. And so I'm going to go ahead and put her up. And I'm going to ask you to read once again, my sweet, because I just read AP. Is that all right? Sweetness?
Yes.
She's going to read it on mute.
Well, I could have Amadeus barking all day, but I try not to.
Well, it's about dogs, so.
I know. I have a friend who has a dog named Sirius, too. So. You know, it's all about the dog star. Okay. Dog Days. By Felon. Does the humidity smothers any efforts to be productive amongst burning rays? Exhaling after ending the parked car, breeze, grenades, ants marching one by one, even retreat to cool shade. Relief can be sought in waters that our skin continues to ache. Lazy haze built on rising heat, scorching to bare feet. Winter waits, melts any sweet from holiday celebration treats. Temperatures escalate, causing the modest to act indiscreet, shedding any article seeking relief from the head to the feet. Dog days of summer evoke moments of flair. June allows union when vows are shared. July lights sky fireworks burst in air. August rings, school bells, and students take to class chairs. September Labor Day parade until the fall begins to prepare. Summer play can be lazy, yet bite on hot dog day. End poem.
I love her. Oh, I wish she could have called in. Felon, I hope that you listen to this. Because, you know, there's a little stripping action going on in the middle of this poem. I don't know if y'all picked up on that. But because, you know, it is hot. And when you are from a place, unlike where I am, if you are from a place that actually has a discernible winter with, like, snow and frozen tundra, then, you know, you've got 50 layers of stuff. And so
I know that I know a lot of people actually from Pennsylvania, and so they're an odd lot when it comes to summer because their summers. My husband was just over there a couple of weeks ago for work, and he's just like, I don't understand. It's like 72 degrees, and they're like. With heat exhaustion, and I'm like, that's because they don't live in 100 degrees, you know, all the time. They're not used to it. It's okay.
True.
And they're like, oh, it's so hot. And he's like, yeah, it's like 68 degrees at 7 o'clock at night, and I'm like freezing. I was like, that's because you're thin blooded, but all right. But to go from you know, just being normally dressed and modest to not giving a care, to just taking it all off. You don't even want to put shoes on. You just everything down to the bare minimum. Everything, you know. So here in Florida, people are constantly in bathing suits. Like you'll see a bathing suit and like a little skirt or a little this or a cover up or something that passes as clothing but isn't actually clothing because it's too hot to wear anything. So you know it's like here the unfortunate footwear of choice for 90% of the year is flip-flops. Yeah, it's just everywhere, and because it's too hot for like sneakers and socks. It's too hot for a long sleeve shirt. My kids, you know, I've got two in high school, and they are full on in their not necessarily emo mood, but they are all hoodies all the time. And I'm like, I can't look at you. Take it off. Why are you wearing jeans and a hoodie? It's 100 degrees. You're killing me. And they laugh at me. You know, I'm just like, you're going to die on the way to your bus stop, which is at the end of my yard, because it's so hot. And they're like, I'll be fine. And they are. They're fine. I couldn't take it, but they're fine. And but I love that this, the way she – starts this barking humidity, and it does that. It smothers any effort to be productive. That is my life right there. Which do I really have to? How badly do I need it? It can wait. It's fine. And because it does that, and that getting into a I have a black car with a black interior. And so when you open that door, it is exactly parked car breathes grenades. It does. You cannot breathe in that air. It's almost like it's going to give you second degree burns in your lungs. It is horrible. You can't sit on those leather seats. This particular car actually has a cooler cooler because it's got the cooled seats in it, which now that I've had that, every other car I get for the rest of my life must have those. I am now spoiled. Because there are certain parts of your body that if they are cool, you are much cooler. And, you know, swampy nethers would be one of them. Another thing for all the ladies listening and for Sweet, if you are ever really super sweaty, take a couple of ice cubes, put them in your bra. Because when your core is cool, the rest of you is cool. So if you're going to be out in the sun and sweaty anyway, you know, a little ice ain't going to make a difference. Wet is wet. And it makes a huge difference in the amount of comfort and the amount of time it actually takes to get to the point of heat stroke. So there I am teaching you a little life lessons. So, Rack, what do you think of Bellin's fabulous little strip tease and her dog days of summer?
Yeah, it's a interesting little thought. You know, it's, I can't help but kind of hear it in her accent, even though Sweet read it a little. I don't know. It's the way that she is, her wordplay in the beginning and the hot dogs in the end, you know, to keep that dog theme going. You know, I appreciate the way that she does stuff like that. You know, her imagery is totally relatable, and, you know, having spoken to her and everything else, you know, you kind of want to put yourself in the story, and you can't help but feel a little, I don't know, hot. She does a great job, you know. Great job, Bella.
Absolutely concur. And Hal, what are your thoughts on Felon's dog days?
Well, the first thing is I need to pin this up for when we get all of our snow up here, the lake effect snow. That's when I need to read it. Anyway.
There you go. It'll warm you up.
There you go. Absolutely. I have never, ever heard her read, so this is like my first time ever seeing her poetry. So, you know, I definitely agree with the beginning and the ending. That's really, really good. And she does, you know, some really, really good, wordplay. The word phrases go right into the next one. Very, very, very smoothly. The rhythm of her words, about how she put them together, that also was very, very smooth. With how you start and with how you, of course, end the paragraphs and the stanzas. So, you know, I actually started following her. So, I figure that's a big enough compliment right there as well. So, I think she did a great job.
And you won't be disappointed following her. She can write anything. She wrote a poem once about her cat that cracked me up so badly I couldn't stop laughing. And that it takes a lot. I'm not always the most easy to make laugh when it comes to poetry, because sometimes they try too hard, but she's hysterical. She can write sultry. She can write pain. She can write love. She can write about the dog days of summer. She can write. She is just a jack of all trades. She is awesome. And I just love her. I really do. She's fabulous. And she's got this, wow, this drawl that she has. You're going to have to hear her one day, because she's got this voice that is unforgettable. And speaking of voices, my sweet, since you read this sultry little ditty, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really like it. I like the cadence of it. I like the flow of it. I like how she talks about how it literally goes from, you know, summer to fall through spring, and she talks about each of the months. And then she's just literally about, oh, here you go. This is it. You know, I don't care what you do. It's summer is what summer is. But don't forget the rest of the months, too, because you're not the only, you know, dog in town.
She is awesome. She's very visual. Her imagery is very, you know, exactly what she's talking about. You absolutely relatable. And, but she's with her grenades and even the ants need shade. Then she's got this little bit of that tease of delayering your clothes, you know, like even the most modest act a little indiscreet because it's too hot to give a darn. And I love how she ties that all through the entire summer months. And I think she did a great job with this storytelling and putting you right there in those moments. So that was awesome. And that is our last poem of the night. Unless you have anything else, anybody have anything summer related, heat related? Well, not naughty heat, because that's not the show. But I've got, I don't think I have any other summer stuff, because me and Sweat are not friends. But I am thrilled between the romantic pieces, oh, my mind is drawing a blank, Hal. Vignettes. Oh, my Lord. I could not think of vignettes. Could you imagine? I am so sorry. So we had your wonderfully visceral vignettes. We had that beautiful imagery and word choices and alliteration from Stephen. We have Felon's just wonderfully vibrant verbiage, and of course AP with his little hints of sultriness and you know, and they're all innocent but not so much with the humidity and guitar, and I loved them all of them. Okay, brain is not working, but I'm never disappointed, and I'm always amazed at the variety that is brought to so far any one of the shows that I've had, and I am just blown away all the time because they are all varied and all just stunning. You guys do such a good job. I'm so impressed. So thank you all for writing for me and spending time with me and hanging out with me and all of my broken brain laziness. Not laziness. This is not laziness. It's just my brain can't form words right now because I'm having a time. But you guys are fabulous. And thank you so much for sharing time. You guys just made my day completely. You did. You really did. So I love you all. And until next time, good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night,
Goodbye.
Good night, guys. Thank you.